I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
True Hauntings is a Frightfully Good production.
New Orleans is a place built on history, but also myth and legend. With tales of vampires and voodoo queens, the city has become a draw card for the curious and macabre.
We are travelling to New Orleans this October and are staying right in the French Quarter. One of the oldest buildings standing in that part of the city is the old Ursuline Convent building. And as much as the nuns of the order were focused on the spiritual well-being of the people, something very weird caught the attention of the city dwellers back in the 1700s that was so terrifying that no one dared venture out at night for fear of death. Hi, I'm Renata.
And I'm Anne. And in this episode of the True Hauntings podcast, we finally take a walk down Ursuline Street in the French Quarter of New Orleans to explore its haunted past.
Anne and Renata have been investigating paranormal occurrences for the past 20 years. They have been at the center of various unexplained phenomena and have witnessed countless ghostly experiences. The duo now turn to high-profile cases that have attracted the eyes of the world. Between the dimensions we see and the dimensions we don't, supernatural forces are at play. Evil lurks within the shadows of our homes and in the darkest corners of our minds. It follows us like a shadow, forever. This is where nightmares become reality. This is True Hauntings.
The paranormal team took the formal tour of the place, though none could even find where steps leading to the third floor were. They asked the caretakers of the convent to see the third floor or even chat for a while about it, though they were met with suspicious looks and unkind words. Needless to say, they were kicked out for asking the wrong questions. That night, two of the four researchers left to search the quarter for a hotel, while the other two stayed, technically camping out at the gates of the convent. Around 2 a.m., when the street's activities died down and they were alone on the streets, they had gone hours without anything remotely interesting happening. Off guard, they engaged in quiet chat, not even noticing the shutters slowly opening right behind them. I assume that bit only because when their bodies were found the next morning, they didn't seem to be evidence of much of a struggle. What was evident, however, was their bodies were completely drained of blood with ripped wounds all over their drained bodies. An interesting fact I've learned in my research is that in the most pristine lab conditions, it's only humanely possible to remove about 70% of a person's blood supply before the veins collapse on themselves. Even hanging a person upside down and completely severing every major artery in the neck, you could not successfully and completely drain the body of blood. it begs the question, what the feck is up there? What thing could possibly have the power to drain a person of their entire blood supply without eating them whole? The only thing ever reported to come from those windows was an unnatural mist that tends to grow and completely surround the estate. It was really foggy that morning those two researchers were found as well, at least around the crime scene. If you're curious such as I was, you'd be surprised to know that those shutters were back in place before the police ever found the bodies.
Welcome back to the studio, Anne.
Oh, thank you, Renata. Oh, I tell you what, it's been a poop of a week, to say the least. And look, we want to apologise to all of those people who were hanging out for a True Hauntings episode last week, but I promise you, I've got a good excuse, and that is that my father passed away last week. It was sort of unexpected, but wasn't. He was 90, and he went into hospital, and he just didn't respond to the treatment. I think his body was just old and tired, and I get that. So he's left us. Farewell, Barry. I've got his demented 16-year-old dog. I'm in a happy place. But we're back. And we did have some people who were slightly confused by the Spooky Sundays episode that popped up. Mm-hmm. And that, look, the reality is that we just ran out of time to record enough episodes to cover us for the Friday we landed back in Australia from being in Germany. Mm-hmm. So it's been a bit of a whirlwind the last 10 days, and I thank everyone for the kind words that they put out in their True Hauntings page. But I'm here, we're back, we're recording, and hopefully we can get this up and running. Who knows what's going to happen when we go to New Orleans? We'll try to pre-record, but just be prepared for anything. Right, Renata, over to you.
Well, we decided to go into this particular subject because we are gearing up to go to New Orleans in October. So the whole thing was, let's do a bit of research and investigation about some of the places we might be staying or some of the places we might be visiting. And the whole idea was to actually talk about the Haunted Hotel, which we are going to be staying at in the French Quarter.
Mm.
Now, the Haunted Hotel is allegedly quite haunted.
Funny about that.
Yes.
Wonder how it got its name.
Mm. And interestingly enough, as much as I could try and find information about the place, do you think I could find anything?
Not about the history.
It's mysterious.
It is very mysterious. But you did find out something which skewed the whole, I suppose, investigation, if you want to look at it like
that.
Yes. Because you discovered that it was built where?
It was built, now, I hope I do have this right, but it's built very close to the old Ursuline Convent.
Apparently it was part of the original grounds. Mm. From one of the maps that I saw, it was either right on the border or within the grounds. So, yes, and then we thought, well, let's see if there's any hauntings around that.
Oh, yes, there are.
We struck gold. Renata did.
As some of the places where you look for information about New Orleans and the French Quarter, they will tell you that every place is haunted that's there. We are going to have a lot of fun at the Haunted Hotel, and maybe we will revisit that subject once we know more, considering that it says that they have seen over a dozen murders.
You realise this is the first podcast back since we came back from visiting a lot of the places we did podcasts on in Europe?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. We're going to have to do a whole episode just on that, I think.
We will.
All right, sorry, I interrupted. I squirreled already.
Yes, we will. Because what we found, it can be sometimes very different to what's there. And the thing that really bothered me the most.
I'm the going walking to get up the hills?
Oh, that's a lot. But when you get to these places and they will not allow you to take any photos.
Yeah.
That's just...
Yes, that's very annoying.
So I'm going to start off just with a little basic history of New Orleans, very basic. So please, if you're finding faults, send me in some information and let me know.
And
absolutely.
Suck it up.
But yeah, I'm just putting a caveat in there.
Yeah, we're not giving you a whole history of New Orleans.
Yes.
Because it's too big.
Yes, it's too big.
We're just going to concentrate on this little area for the moment. We'll look at other areas later.
So the city is in the southern part of the United States, and it's located in the state of Louisiana. And Native American tribes like the Choctaw and the Houma lived in the area before European settlers arrived. In 1781, there was a Frenchman called Jean-Baptiste Lemoyne de Benvielle, or something like that, and he founded New Orleans as a French colony. The city was named after the Duke of Orleans, who was the regent of France at the time. So wars and wars and wars and wars, and that's why New Orleans now exists.
And it's a cultural hot pot of all sorts of things now.
Yes. So over the years, New Orleans changed hands between different countries. So it was ruled by the French and then the Spanish, and then it became part of the United States through the Louisiana Purchase in 1803. And this is when President Thomas Jefferson bought a huge piece of land from France.
That's weird.
And that included New Orleans.
That was really weird.
What?
See, his middle name was the same as his first name. Thomas.
Of pain.
Yes, oh. That's what I'm here for. She wanted to do one of these podcasts on her own. It said be as dry as and no, I won't say what I was going to say. But it'll just be you doing history. Who wants to listen to that? They want to listen to me interrupting your awesome history.
That's right. Now, one of the most famous events in New Orleans history was the Battle for New Orleans, and that happened during the War of 1812, and that was between the United States and Britain. Now, the American forces led by General Andrew Jackson successfully defended the city from a British attack. Oh, those British people, they wanted to own everything.
Is that the Andrew Jackson that was the spiritualist? That was into all this sort of stuff? I mean, Andrew Jackson is a name that could be anywhere. Sorry, I've been doing some occult research history a few months back, and it was a name that popped up.
Okay. What did they mention? That he was a general?
I didn't get that far. I'm full of really useful information.
Oh, you are. Now, New Orleans, therefore, is a really unique place with a, like you said, a hodgepodge of culture. And it's influenced by many different people from all over the world, including Europe and Africa and the Caribbean. And, of course, all of the languages, the traditions, the cuisines, and the spiritual movements that are associated with all of those people actually came into the area and planted themselves there.
Unlike our movements that we had in the Czech Republic, which just peeled the paint off the walls.
Yeah. The thing about it is that I was reading was that New Orleans wasn't a great place to build a city. It was a bit of a swamp, and they kind of put the rejects of the world there. So you had slaves there, you had dissidents.
We're talking history here, guys.
You had slaves, you had dissidents, you had illegal aliens, you had a whole mash of people that were kind of that center point and the building of New Orleans. And look at it now, all of that mixture of all of those people have led to such diversity the city.
I am so excited to go. You've got no idea. I've never been to New Orleans, and I've been to many other states in the USA, but not there, and I'm very keen.
Yeah. And this, I guess I go back to, you know, so many people from so many different countries, but so many religions side by side. Wow. That's going to be impressive to see. Just the influences of all of these religions. And then on top of that, let's not stop there.
Let's dig deeper, Renata.
Let's dig deeper and let's add superstition.
Oh, yes.
And voodoo.
And folklore.
And myth and legend to every single. Let's paint every place with a story and make it amazing. And then let's add absinthe and
and being able to drink alcohol whilst walking down the street.
That's right. Just go nuts and you're in New Orleans, and of course then you have jazz. Woohoo! But we are concentrating on the Ursuline nuns. Oh, you know how I love a story about nuns. And that was a Catholic religion that, or the nuns were a Catholic-based fraternity. I don't know, what do you call it? And they were sent by...
It was a nunnery.
I know, they were sent by King Louis the 15th of France.
Oh,
to
populate. Hang on, how can nuns populate?
No, no. That, well, they were sent. Oh, sorry, I'll go back. I had to just.
Banana. The nuns are going in to make babies.
Right, they were sent first. So 12 nuns came over.
Yes.
To check out New Orleans.
Oh, looks nice, sisters. What do you reckon?
And to class up the fledgling colony.
Oh, they're going to try and bring manners back, were they?
Manners, yes.
Yeah, yes. Wash your hands. Manners.
Manners, yes. Wash your hands before you sit at the table and say your prayers.
And if you cuss, we're going to wash your mouth out with soap.
Yes.
And they'll have a big stick and beat the crap out of you like they did to us.
Yeah. So their whole thing was to look after the spiritual well-being of the community, to look after the sick and the poor, and to educate the daughters of the well-heeled in the city.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, of course, where you have poverty...
There's got to be some wealth.
There's got to be some wealth. You know, located in one spot usually. And, yes, so those families needed to educate their lovely daughters so that their daughters could marry into wealth because that's the only thing that you could do.
They wanted some nicer people for their yes. young girls.
So the sisters arrived in July of 1727, and that changes a little bit, so 25, 26, 27, more or less. And they had a five-month sea journey. Oh, couldn't imagine any worse.
Actually, I need to know from our listeners, Renata does get vertigo quite easily from a rocking ship or even a little bit of movement on a ship, and we're planning to go on a paddle steamer. Will she cope on a paddle steamer, or will there be too much movement? If you can send us a message on our True Hauntings, is it fans or something on Facebook and let us know, or send an email to Anne, A-N-N-E, at ozparatech.com.
Yeah, because I backed out of the cruise in
you
Frankfurt.
Did? It was very, very lovely, Renata. You would have loved the industrial buildings we looked at.
See, I knew it was going to be shite. I didn't want to go.
If they'd gone the other way, it would have been great. But they went down the industrial sludge end.
Oh, God. Yes, so 12 nuns walk into a bar. No. They walk into New Orleans and they start to build a convent.
And they're all virgins.
I cannot see that they were building a convent, but they must have gotten someone to build a convent. And this was the first of four that they would build or they would move into. So the very, very old convent. And there are a few that kind of, I'll just let you know, there's the Nashville Avenue home that they currently occupy. Then there's the no longer existing Ninth Ward home that they lived in before that. Then there's also the iconic old Ursuline convent in the French Quarter, which we'll probably go and visit because you can nowadays, which was built in 1751.
I love visiting convents, Renata.
Which is a landmark. It's a landmark. It's one of the oldest buildings standing. In the French Quarter, or the oldest building standing in the French Quarter, and it's a museum. So we'll go and have some fun in there. No.
We can't be disrespectful. We can't go in there and misbehave so like we'd ever do that.
The first one, the old Ursuline Convent, which was the nuns' first permanent home in New Orleans, was completed in 1734. That's less than two decades after the city was founded. But it didn't last long. So it was designed by Ignacy Francois Bruton.
Get it up in your nose.
And he was the colony's engineer to the king, and he constructed a brick between post style common to the which was common to the era, and it was a handsome three-story structure with a low-pitched roof and central belfry. You want to know about that, don't you?
It sounds like a real estate ad.
Now, it would soon fall victim to Brouton's preferred aesthetic of leaving bricks in such buildings uncovered. And Louisiana, and especially New Orleans, is very, very humid. So guess what happens? It all started to wibble wobble, didn't it?
And sweat.
Now, by 1745, just 11 years after its completion, the old convent was crumbling to such an extent that Brouton found himself having to design a second convent.
Oh, I hope he didn't get paid a second time.
No, he probably did. Now, this one is actually built on the site of the first, but they actually slathered it in stucco. So there would be no gaps. They could have, I'm sure that, yeah, there's something that you can buy on TV that doesn't do gaps. You could just, you know, fill it.
It's a gap fill.
Gap fill. So,
it's in a big tube. You just poke it in a hole and you go, whoosh, and it fixes it.
It's done. So this one was completed in 1751, and it incorporated some of the materials of the old original convent because, you know, let's not waste anything. And it still stands on Chartres Street, and it's recognised as the oldest surviving building in New Orleans.
Our French is fabulous, by the way.
Sorry. Now, today it is a museum, and it served for a time as a school. It also served as...
I'm going to get out my judgment face now. I can feel I'm getting judgy.
As the Archbishopric.
I think that's the best named Archbishop.
The Louisiana State House and a seminary. So many wrong words in that sentence.
So we've got Archbishop Prick at the seminary.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
You've made my day. Thank you for putting a smile on my face.
You're welcome. Now, there is a huge myth and legend about this place because the Ursulines, first of all, the nuns, were there because, of course, King Charles wanted to establish a French theme, a French, I don't know what to call it, spirituality.
It's a thingamabobby.
Looking after the people.
Where are we staying?
This is France.
This is France. Where are we staying when we go for those first couple of nights? Isn't it a commune or something? They're trying to establish a commune. I can't wait.
We went somewhere where it was cheap.
That's right, basically. Speaking of which, if you'd like to buy us a cup of coffee to say thank you for our work, we'd really appreciate it.
Okay.
We'll have the link in the below.
Now, remember when I was talking about the Ursulines coming and propagating? They couldn't. They were nuns, right? There were just a few of them. They were there to
deal
with the sick people and look after soldiers and all of that sort of stuff.
And cultivate the rich people's daughters.
Yeah. But by 1728...
Sorry, I got the wrong word. Sorry, that was my outside voice. Also at this stage, I'd like to thank Joseph for his review. If anyone was partaking in that review that we had from Joseph, and I think he left with his head down low.
But by 1728, New Orleans needed different women, the marrying kind.
Ones with good hips and pelvises.
Not the ones that were just decorative.
Oh, God.
So the crown sent over a shitload. Oh, shit.
We are so rusty. We are so out of practice.
Of virtuous young ladies.
Oh, my God.
Now, they were supposed to all be virgins. They were all supposed to be virgins.
Guaranteed virgins, apparently. Who knows? I don't know how they checked that. I don't want to know. Don't write in and tell us, please.
I don't want to know that. But this was so that...
No, she just wiped her eyes. She just put a shirt over her face and still kept talking in the microphone.
New blood could be injected into New Orleans.
That's appropriate. New blood.
And that the males that were in New Orleans could settle down and have a family and start living a righteous, blessed Bible-led life.
Give them all a wife, some children, and a mortgage, and just watch them shut down and shrivel up.
Yes.
There you go.
Now, you're going to talk a little bit more about this, because this kind of this story went from, boatloads of women arriving to New Orleans to something very, very different.
Oh, very different.
Yes. And do myths and legends start because there is a grain of truth in them, or do they start because the women that were already there took a dislike to these young creatures arriving and going, let's really rip into them because,
let's make everyone scared of them so nobody wants to marry them.
Yes. Now, the nuns looked after them. They were the educators, they were the caregivers, they were the spiritual leaders of the community. They did a lot of education. They actually founded the Ursuline Academy, which is one of the oldest girls' schools in the United States. And they gave these young ladies that came in for an education a really good grounding of, what the importance...
And probably a good beating.
Absolutely. What the importance of a spiritual and blessed life is.
Oh, and look, guys, we both went to Catholic schools. If this is the first time you've listened to it, both of us have been beaten by nuns, so we're allowed to say it.
Oh, yes.
We know they're not all like that.
No, I had some lovely nuns.
I had some that used to fart as they walked past you. They'd be walking past you. Sister Christina. She's no longer with us.
Yeah, I don't think most of the ones that I went to school with
Sister
are alive
Mary
anymore.
Joseph and Sister Mary they were all John Sister and Mary. Sister Mary Richard and Sister Mary.
Now, the sisters also ran an orphanage. Orphanage.
Words is hard, as Dave Schrader would say.
An infirmary and a school. And this was on the first floor of the new building that was built. And they lived on the second floor. Now, there was also an attic.
A third floor.
And it was strange that even though there were fires that went through New Orleans, it seemed in 1788 and 1794, the building survived. Now, there is a statue of Mary who that the nuns called the Sweetheart.
Oh, I like that.
She was placed in the window of the...
Peeking Mary. We need one of those. Yeah, if you've not seen... I'm broken up. She was sitting in the window judging, I'm sure. We need one of those signs. If you haven't seen our Temu videos yet, there is one where we've got this Jesus sign that's supposed to sit on your door frame and he's peeking around the corner saying, I saw that. I could just see that with Mary. I saw that.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, anyways, it's a beautiful Mary statue that I've just ruined.
Beautiful Mary statue. And she apparently is why the place was saved. It is because of her. They actually removed her as well.
I've got something to debunk that, but never mind.
Apparently, they removed her during Hurricane Katrina, and they brought her back afterwards.
Did it survive Hurricane Katrina?
I don't think anything survived Hurricane Katrina.
I think it did.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Most of it.
Mm.
Yeah, don't quote me on that.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right. Now, there are, it wrapped up in all of this, all of these stories about vampires, and the belief is that maybe the vampire legend in New Orleans is linked to the Ursuline nuns and the convent.
Oh.
And these lovely ladies that were brought over. I'm not going to dispel that. It could be true or it could just be a fable. But did you hear in 1984 that there was also a moment of terror for the people of the French Quarter?
No.
When 9 people were found with their throats ripped open and drained of their blood.
Uh-oh.
So this is 1984. Now, the police had no suspects in this case at the time, and so, you know, what do you do with the murders? It was kind of ended very, very quickly because, you know, who do you blame for this? But they believed that there was a rogue vampire responsible and that he was destroyed by the city's elder vampires for bringing attention to the vampire community.
Oh.
He went rogue.
Uh-oh.
Right? And the older vampires of the community said, no, you cannot be eating human beings.
No num-nums for you.
Drain them of blood. And yes, there's no evidence, obviously, that was found to corroborate this story. And it's believed that it could be a variation to the 1978 murders when also some bodies were found drained of blood. Yeah. Mm. Now, could this be the same vampire? Did he work out how to open the door after where he was locked up into and crept out twice?
You realise that you've just spoken about part of the legend without telling the whole story.
Well, yeah.
But you're teasing, Renata.
I am. I'm teasing.
Oh, you're
teasing.
A tease.
And of course, Pope John Paul.
What's his name? Yeah.
Pope John Paul was brought into the scene as well, which kind of like, are you going to tell about?
Yes.
Yes. Well, see, there you go. They've brought Pope John Paul into all of this,
yes,
which makes everything completely true.
Which is relatively recent for,
yes,
old people like us.
Yes.
My, yes, children weren't born in in that like decade. Just think, my son is 30 and that was 10 years before that. That's terrifying. That's 40 years ago that happened.
It's John Paul?
Yeah, it's recent to us.
Oh, my God. Okay.
I know, we are so freaking old, Renata.
Oh. Anyway, I am going to hand the rest of this tragic story over to you.
Oh, jeez. Okay. Now, before I kick off on the my aspect of it, I wanted to say that the soundscape was from Creepypasta. Now, what we're going to go into now is the legend surrounding the Casket Girls.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the girls that you were referring to that were brought to the convent. I found this great story here, and it goes on about the girls arrived in the New Orleans port and bustling with activity, shouting of men, stamping hooves of horses, the scraping of boxes as the ship was unloaded. And for the group of the young women aboard the ship, La Nouvelle Orleans was a taste of the forbidden, of the unknown. Oh,
they're all coming from France.
Yes, and you can imagine virgins. The men are going, I can smell these ladies. They smell good. So the women...
They had been on board for 5 months in. They would have smelled. It smells really bad, but never mind. Sorry.
That might be the smell that just... That those men went, Anyway, the women would have come down the plank onto the ground finally after being at sea for so long. And they were clutching to their breasts a casket, which was a coffin-shaped box, but yes. Small.
Mm-hmm.
And that held all their worldly belongings. So they spent almost 6 months coming across really rough seas of the Atlantic Ocean, and they were supposedly keen to start their new life. They're probably just keen to get off the bloody boat.
Yes.
But they're also a bit nervous. So they've been picked by the bishop on the order of the French king, and they're supposed to be all of an appropriate age and background, and their only thing that was needed from them was to marry a good match, one of the French colonists that were in the Louisiana colony. Now, I read somewhere that a lot of these girls just disappeared. They were actually teamed up with some not very nice people.
Yes, and they ran away.
Yeah, I don't know if they ran away or the husbands did away with them. Anyway, so these women are coming off the ship after being there for 6 months, being unwell. They've probably been kept below deck to protect their virginity, so they would have been pale,
mm-hmm.
gaunt,
mm-hmm.
sunken eyes,
mm-hmm.
ill. If one of them had picked up a bug like tuberculosis or something like that, they could have been coughing up blood.
Yes.
And at the sight of them, rumours started to circulate.
These tongues started to wag.
These unearthly creatures that are coming off the ship, they don't look normal. Pale or balay. So, I don't know. The Frenchmen were sort of saying to themselves as they saw the women, so they were very pale and their skin were reddened and blistered from, you know, being out in the hot sun trying to probably make them look a bit better. Oh, I don't know, but they had blisters on them as well. That could have been from lack of nutrition. So they would take their caskets down and they were taken to their new home until their respective marriages and to remain under the care and protection of the nuns.
What a sad, sad life for those women.
Yeah.
Well, they would have been awful.
So the local men disrespected these women. They were placed into unwanted marriages and they were mistreated by the husbands. And upon finding themselves alone and unwed, some of them were even forced into prostitution.
Mm. You're just adding to the angst of the city.
So the French king was not happy.
No.
Not happy at all. So the sisters then took the casket-shaped caskets that had once carried everything that these young ladies had owned, climbed the steps to the third floor of the convent, and supposedly sealed up that room forevermore. Now, a short time later, when the nuns returned to the third floor, they found that the chests were completely empty of any items that these girls had brought with them. They searched everywhere. They could find nothing. Fearing the young women might have been something other than what they said they were, the nuns really went to the ends of the earth to find out what had happened.
Mm-hmm.
But they decided to be safe. and they locked up this third floor. They bolted shut the windows. They nailed the windows shut. And these nails were actually blessed by the Pope himself.
Mm-hmm.
And they were silver.
Oh.
Yeah. And, of course, what happened then when the locals started to hear these stories? Vampire.
Well, that would have freaked them out. Because you've actually locked away their ability to come back to their lair.
Yes, exactly.
What's
the thing is, that what the question is were these girls the brides of the vampires?
Mm-hmm.
Or were they carrying something within these caskets
mm-hmm.
that was released within the convent?
Mm-hmm.
And then we have that whole story in 1984 where all those people were supposedly attacked by a vampire. Now, as you said that, I thought, I need to look up something. So I wanted to look up, when did Anne Rice write Interview with a Vampire?
Mm-hmm.
And that was written in 1976. That's mm-hmm. a lot earlier than I expected.
Mm-hmm.
Was this a fan of the book that was doing a copycat type killing? Who knows?
Nine people is a lot.
That's
a
lot.
Yeah, to get through.
It
must have been really hungry.
I think we're saying, well, I'm trying to say it's not a vampire, but we don't know.
Mm.
And, of course, there was the story that I started off the whole episode with the paranormal investigators.
Mm-hmm.
So, allegedly, in 1978...
Is that the same year the book was written?
No, 76.
76. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but not long after, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Are we in the Satanic Panic?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. We need to do an episode on the Satanic Panic, I think. Yeah, so these paranormal investigators were trying to find answers what happened on that third floor because, you know, paranormal investigators are entitled to enter any property that they feel might have a ghost in it because it's their right as investigators.
Absolutely right.
Anyway, so they were found allegedly drained of blood. What's exsanguinated was the big word I stumbled over before,
mm-hmm.
Which we cut out. Just put in drained of blood. I can't find anything historically about that.
No, strange about that, isn't
Makes
it?
Makes a good story, though.
Mate, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Are legends starting at that point?
See, this little story I found, the other one I said that they couldn't work out how they were drained of blood. This one says their body was torn apart and ravaged as if by the claws of an animal and drained of blood.
All right.
Someone was trying to get a little bit more excited about the story. But
yeah, I guess it's looking at trying to find those first mentions of the vampires?
Well, I reckon it's the locals, the girls coming off the ship not looking healthy,
mm-hmm.
And rumours would start to circulate.
Mm-hmm.
But there's way more rumours than just that. Let me get on to the other rumours as well. Okay. So we've got...
I just want to add to that too, that a lot of the people coming from the countries that were bringing people in or opening their arms up to take in, had long-standing beliefs about vampires and werewolves.
Yes.
Long-standing
part of their cultural belief.
Yep. So it wasn't a far stretch to kind of go, this is happening here.
Mm. Yep. But it is one of the oldest buildings in New Orleans. And as you said, it was finished in 1752. And during its time, it has survived so many things. It survived the hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
It survived the floods. It survived epidemics. It survived fires. The building is known as the treasure of the archdiocese. But some people say that the building is cursed,
mm-hmm.
while other people say it's a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on your belief and your outlook on life will determine on how you feel about this building.
Yep.
Is it cursed because of these casket girls, or is it blessed to have survived? And has it survived because the vampire's home is there?
Yes.
Or who knows?
Or Mary
Judgy Mary. She's there. She's looking after it.
Yeah.
But tourists do come from all over the world because they've heard of the Casket Girls. Apparently that third story is still locked away.
Yes.
You can't get up there and all the shutters are shut. So we've got to look back to where the stories come from.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, the girls coming off the ships look pale and gaunt, travelling below deck, deathly ill, tuberculosis. That, I reckon, is the vampire link. Their suitcases look like the
little coffins.
And if there was illness amongst the girls and they've been put up into that area to keep them away so the illness didn't spread, that would make sense as well.
Yep.
And could even explain why they, or maybe they were naughty girls and that's why they nailed those windows shut. Who knows?
Mm.
But we do know that when Pope John Paul, was it?
Uh-huh.
Came in 1984. He has supposedly re-blessed the nails.
Yes.
To keep it safe. And why?
Why would you do that?
Yeah, and why will they still not go up there? Now, what about the fire, the Great Fire of 1788? Why was the convent spared? Well, apparently it did actually lick around the heels of the convent walls, but the nuns prayed.
Yes.
And it stayed away. They maybe threw some water on it as well. But it was the way the building was built was also it was made out of stone rather than wood.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and they had gardens around it as well, I believe, which meant that could have been a bit of a fire
and
break.
They had walls. Mm-hmm. So that would have given a break in between as well. There was a battle in New Orleans in 1815. They prayed all night to Our Lady Prompt Succor. What? To Our Lady of Prompt Succor. Apparently she was very prompt. Converted the school rooms into a makeshift hospital for the wounded. They prayed again and they were spared. Maybe because it was a hospital.
Mm.
Don't know. Now there's another rumour as well about babies in the wall.
Oh, really?
Yes. There was construction workers who have worked on the restoration on some of the walls and they were shocked to find inside the walls countless bones all along the outer areas and even underneath the foundation of the wall. They were brought to a lab for testing and they were hoping it was going to be animals, but sadly it was discovered the bones had allegedly belonged to children and infants.
No. Oh, no.
Knowing that Ursuline nuns once ran an orphanage on these grounds, it doesn't mean that they've killed them. It's not necessarily like the Tuam ones where these nuns have murdered those babies, and I'm getting my knickers in a knot about that one. I'm going to start agitating about that really soon. They think that what's happened is that they have died from yellow fever epidemic or other epidemics that went through, and maybe people were trying to bury their babies on consecrated ground, and that's why they were found underneath the walls or close by to the walls because they were trying to get them to some sort of sacred ground to save their souls. But they don't really know how they were placed. There is no actual history associated with that, but the spirits of children are seen haunting those particular areas. There's reports of children's laughter coming from the front garden of the convent, even in the dead of night. The museum is closed at night. There are no children on the grounds that time of night. The surrounding buildings have heard and seen the same noises. And we are going to be very close to that because we are on the Ursuline convent grounds.
Yes.
So we've got to look out for small children-like apparition playing around that area. That's from Royal Tours New Orleans. Hmm.
If any of you have visited that area, send us your stories. We'd love to hear whether you have had any sort of paranormal experience around that French Quarter area of where the
apart from the alcoholic kind.
Yeah, the convent sits.
But how this whole story started was from the haunted hotel that we're staying at. And originally we were going to be looking at the ghost stories from there. Now, you couldn't find a lot on the history, so we had to shift. But I did find some ghost stories there, and I would like to share some of the ghost stories of the Haunted Hotel.
Oh, please do.
Thank you. Oh, by the way, oh, there was a funny little line I had somewhere, and I can't find it now. I'll hopefully remember what it was. My memory sucks. So, we are staying at the Haunted Convent. Haunted Hotel at 623 Ursulines in New Orleans in the French Quarter. There is a rumour that a mass murderer may have stayed there.
Yes.
And he is known as the Axeman. And there is a really creepy letter he wrote and sent to the police. So this hotel was supposedly built in 1829 and has been home to nearly a dozen murders in the last 200 years. Now, I couldn't find those murders, but I think they've muddled it up with the Axeman murders. So the infamous serial killer, the Axeman, left a bloody trail through the city, becoming one of the most notorious serial killers of the 20th century. And to this day, his identity remains unknown.
Mm-hmm.
So mainly targeted the Italian population, which they think may have been mafia or mob related.
Mm-hmm.
And they say confirmed reports have verified that the Axeman lived in the hotel during the murders. Now, how can they know that? How can they say that verified reports say?
Didn't they find axe?
I know. All right. So,
allegedly,
renting one of the back rooms in the slave quarters, allegedly, they were doing some renovations and they found an axe.
Mm-hmm.
That could be anything. How many homes had an axe?
Most of them, probably.
And the MO for the, did I say that right? For this murderer was that he would cut out a panel of a door, go through the panel, find the axe that belonged to the home, and murder the people with their own axe.
Oh.
So why would the axe be left at the Haunted Hotel?
Mm.
They know the murder weapons. But allegedly he lived there a very unassuming life.
You would think that they would know who it was then.
But they could never prove who it was. But this was the letter that was sent to the New Orleans newspaper in March 1919. They have never caught me and they never will. They have never seen me, for I am invisible, even as the ether that surrounds your earth. I am not a human being, but a spirit and a demon from the hottest hell. I am what you Orleanians and your foolish police call the Axeman. When I see fit, I shall come and claim other victims. I alone know whom they shall be. I shall leave no clue except my bloody axe, besmeared with blood and brains of he whom I have sent below to keep me company. If you wish, you may tell the police to be careful not to rile me. Of course, I am a reasonable spirit. I take no offence at the way they have conducted their investigations in the past. In fact, they have been so utterly stupid as to not only amuse me, but his satanic majesty, Francois, Joseph, etc. But tell them to beware. Let them not try to discover what I am, for it were better that they were never born than to incur the wrath of the Axeman. I don't think there is any need of such a warning, for I feel sure the police will always dodge me, as they have in the past. They are wise and know how to keep away from all harm. Undoubtedly, you New Orleanians think of me as a most horrible murderer, which I am, but I could be much worse if I wanted to, if I wished. I could pay a visit to your city every night. At will, I could slay thousands of your best citizens, for I am in close relationship with the Angel of Death. Now, to be exact, at 12:15 earthly time on next Tuesday night, I'm going to pass over New Orleans. In my infinite mercy, I'm going to make a little proposition to you people. Here it is. I'm very fond of jazz music, and I swear by all the devils in the nether regions that every person shall be spared in whose home a jazz band is in full swing at the time I have just mentioned. If everyone has a jazz band going, well, then so much the better for you people. One thing is certain, and that is that some of your people who do not jazz it on Tuesday night, if there be any, will get the axe. Well, as I am cold and crave the warmth of my native Tartarus, and it is about time I leave your earthly home, I will cease my discourse, hoping that thou wilt publish this, that it may go well with thee. I have been, am, and will be the worst spirit that ever existed, either in fact or realm of fancy. The Axeman.
That's a bit blood-chilling, isn't it?
That's creepy. It's so creepy. Apparently there was no more murders after that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think he was a hitman. I think he'd got away with a lot of murders, and I think he was full of himself. I think he was just playing with it. But is he responsible for the amount of jazz that we get in New Orleans?
Yeah, it could be, yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Maybe he just really liked jazz and wanted to make sure that they had loads of jazz.
They kept on playing.
Yes. We're pretty sure he was the mafia, but it was a good story. But, of course, back to the haunted hotel. His presence is felt routinely on the patio by many of the hotel visitors. I did read one story that there was somebody staying in one of the rooms and they had to leave because of the amount of flies in it. So it's a bit of an Amityville reference there. Mm-hmm. But there is another guest. Countless guests have reported the presence of spirits, specifically Mamie, M-A-I-M-E, Mamie, who was a former owner of the once private residence, and she swore to all that she would never leave, and it turns out she never did. The former property owner supposedly died in her bedroom, and the guests who were bold enough to stay in the same room reportedly have creepy paranormal activity.
Shall we hire that one?
Oh, I hope we get that one. But she demands that her presence be felt. She demands to be noticed. So that's really nice. People who have had that room have returned to it and found that their pillows have been ruffled as if someone or something has been resting on the bed. Not only this, the light in the bedroom window has been reported by countless visitors to have turned on and off abruptly out of nowhere at all hours of the night. They better not do that to us. I'll be annoyed because I'll want to sleep. Mm-hmm. I'll be tired by that stage. Apart from Mammy's presence, they've got multiple EVP recordings, and they get such weird sounds as echoing voices and alarming groans.
Mm.
I'm sure that's coming from the room next door. Someone's having a good time. That's all that will be. So that was how the whole thing started. Because I thought I found such those good stories. We had to include that because it's still part of the Ursuline Convent grounds.
Yes. Yeah.
This has turned into a really fun one.
Mm. Yeah, I'm sure we're going to find more along the way. I hope we do one or two more stories before we actually land in New Orleans. Well, and we'll have more stories after we've come back.
We'll have to look at our itinerary and work out where else we're going.
Mm.
And maybe we can hit up a few New Orleans stories in a row.
Yes.
I'm sure everyone will forgive us for doing some New Orleans stories in a row. Mm. New Orleans? You've got to say New Orleans. Can you say it?
New Orleans.
Very good. Well, that brings us to the end of the True Hauntings podcast. I'm so glad we finally got one done. And look, if you've enjoyed it, please leave us a nice review, unlike Joseph. And he said he hoped the ghost granny shuffle off or something like that. It was pretty bad, whatever it was. I know you guys love
bless
us. Yeah, if you
soul.
Want to support us, you can buy us a cup of coffee. Just search buy me a coffee, yep. Anne and Renata. We'll put the link in the show notes. And, become a Patreon. That's about it.
Yep.
So we're going to shuffle off now. So we'll see you all on the dark side. Can you remember?
Stay spooky. Be frightfully good.
And don't be a dickhead. All right, bye everyone.
Thank you for listening to this episode of True Hauntings. If you like the show, give us a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening right now. For more on Anne and Renata, follow at Anne and Renata on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, or visit their website, www.anneandrenata.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.